Because it's not about compliance.
It's about patient care.
Finally, you jumped in when you're supposed to.
That's all, folks. Have a good day.
You're listening to the Help Me with HIPAA podcast, where HIPAA and humor collide to make learning fun. Your delightful hosts are Donna Grindle and David Sims. Relax. HIPAA help is on the way.
Welcome to the Help Me with HIPAA podcast. My name is David Sims of HIPAA for MSPs and Security First IT. And joining me is Donna Grindle of Cardin. What's up, Donna?
Well, you know, I'm hanging in there because we're doing this at night after my weekend away, and I had a great time, so I'm slow.
You didn't kill too many brain cells, I hope.
No, but I had the absolute best old-fashioned I've ever had at a craft cocktail bar that you would never even think when you see the doorway that it's as much as it is, but it's awesome. So
cool.
Yeah. Asheville at the Top of the Monk. It's their sexy old fashioned. It's awesome. Highly recommend it.
Nice. Well, I got to give a shout out to George. I don't know if you remember a few weeks ago that he has sent you a care package.
Yes.
I finally got mine. Apparently it went back to him, and anyway, it made its rounds. So thanks, George. I got everything. The chocolate items were indeed a brick of melted stuff, but it still tasted good. but no, thanks. I got all that interesting story. I was, I too got a little thing of whiskey. So I was sitting there saying, oh, cool. We'll just put it over here and, you know, we'll let it age a little bit and maybe give it, do something with it. And then I hear it opening. So I turn and look, and one of my kids is opening it up because he wants to see what it smells like. Okay, so much for saving that one.
It's like, smooth, it's good.
Yeah, he's like, I didn't know you had to keep it closed to save it. anyway, kids.
Put it in a dark place.
Yeah. That's so awesome. Anyway, but guess what? I am kidless.
Kidless. Yeah.
I have, you know, for those of you who probably follow my life story, I have four kids. As of today, my last one just shipped off. Well, he ships off in the morning, but he's going into the Air Force. So I have no more kids at home. All three of my four went to the Air Force, and then one is gallivanting through the hills of North Carolina to find a job.
He's trying to find himself. Don't worry.
He will. Yeah, I don't exactly know what he's doing, but that's okay. I don't have to.
There you go. Well, congratulations. You made it this far.
I know. Now I just got to get the dog out and the stepkid out. Maybe I look up and get the wife out.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Yeah, that ain't going to happen. anyway, so we got some stuff coming up.
Yes,
we do. Usual. So tell us about your minor stuff before we talk about the big stuff.
My minor stuff. Well, I'm doing the Healthcare Cybersecurity Officer Live Webinar Workshop. It's a 4-day thing that starts September 12th, 13th, 19th, and 20th. We do 1 hour each day at format approved. And if you sign up, you can use the coupon code GRINDLE20 to get a 20% discount in my name. And October the 18th, I'm going to be at Georgia Pediatric Practice Administrators Conference in the Atlanta area, so I'm excited about that. I'm also making a trip to Springfield, Missouri to do a speaking gig, and so a lot of things. And then we have the thing that David gets excited about, which is the boot camp.
I love the boot camp.
you get to come down here and go on a business trip.
I know.
Yeah, it's so exciting.
Anything I can do to get out of the office and still call it work. Yeah, no, I love the boot camp. I love meeting the people that come in there and helping them out. I get a blast out of especially watching people's faces near the end of the first day.
Yeah, I know. That's when it's best. The second day, you know, it's just like ripping the Band-Aid off the rest of the way.
But. Yeah. What was that? Somebody said this last one. I was I made a comment. I flipped to a slide and I said, all right, here's some other things that you guys might want to think about, you know, in doing your assessments. And she was like, everything you've brought up is something I've never thought about before. I don't know what to do.
That's a good one.
So, but yeah, that's to prove that sometimes you don't know what you don't know.
Yep. You usually don't know what you don't know.
I know what I don't know.
So it is October.
Yeah. 24th
and 25th, which is a Thursday and Friday, at the end of October, giving you plenty of time to sign up. And we do have our super early bird discount because that did work really well. And I don't remember the dates that we're ending things because it's today. Yeah, go to thehippabootcamp.com or helpmewithhippa.com/bootcamp. They will both work. All the details are there, and we can provide as much information as you would like. Simply reach out and touch someone. Call us, contact us on the website form, or just email us at contact@helpmewithhippa.com.
We may even have a costume party. Who knows?
Oh, Lord, no. Is that... That will be the day that the Halloween episode will need to come out.
So. I know. That's always fun. All righty. So, as always, if you like today's episode, share it out on social media or wherever else you want to share it out. And, of course, you will like it. So, I know you'll do it. And that brings us to our topic. some of the things we talk about when we, especially at the boot camp, where we're talking about tech folks and the non-tech folks and what we have to do together. Oftentimes, this comes in the form of what type of information does one need from the other. So that's what we're going to dive into a little bit today.
Yeah, it's a thing that we do discuss it in the boot camp of how we have to facilitate changing some of that dynamic where, you know, you've got the tech folks who often talk to people like they're idiots and say things like, I'm sorry, are you from the past? You know, and but on the flip side of that, you also get the, I can ignore you or treat you like you're some weirdo and never have a conversation with you because you're a tech person. So it goes both ways, but ultimately both sides need each other in today's chaotic world of constant cyber attack and cyber war. Mm-hmm. If one side doesn't have the other to help, and they don't work together, you will not win, guaranteed. So we need more cooperation, and that's one of the things we talk about. And one of the big areas where that push and pull comes into place is when we start saying with, you know, when we're working with our clients or the management people, and then we help them communicate with the IT people being that translation group in the middle. So we will say, okay, you need to ask IT to give you these reports so that we can provide documentation. And they come back and they say, blah, 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 blah. And that's where we have to get in the middle because neither side can understand each other very fully as to, hey, why are you asking? Do you not think I'm doing my job? These kind of things. And you just need to trust me. Yeah, the kind of attitude. And they're like, I'm not quite sure why I need it, but Cardin says I need it, so give it up. And round and round we go. So I wanted to do an episode that talked about if we just start with three reports and we can get those nailed down, then there's plenty of others that can be done. But if we understand these three, start doing them, start working together to make sure the information is documented properly, then all the others should be a lot easier. And these are the ones that you really have to have as your core base.
Right. And this is one of the big pluses to having your IT company come to the boot camp. Some IT companies have just came on their own because they, you know, they see the need of it or need for it. Or they've joined the HIPAA for MSPs membership site so that they can learn, you know, what do the covered entities and their clients, what do they need? What should they be providing? And what kind of conversation should they be having with these people?
Yeah, you shouldn't feel that it's okay for your IT company to roll their eyes about HIPAA and, you know, and throw attitude about it or say, I know everything. You don't have to tell me anything.
Oh, Lord.
because you're going to need to ask them for this stuff. And if they're rolling their eyes, giving you the it's so stupid attitude, or you don't need it, you need to trust me, those are concerning. And certainly, you know, if you've got the I've got a guy and I got a guy says you don't need any of that security. David just mentioned that recently that he had a client that had somebody come in and tell him that. So with all of that in mind, it's important to know that both sides need to learn from this one. So it, whatever side you're on, make sure you pass it along to whomever is on the other side of your conversation.
And don't trust anybody who says, I know HIPAA inside and out.
Yeah, because I don't think I know it inside and out.
No, it's and unfortunately, I've seen that. I've even seen that in some IT people. Look, I know HIPAA up one side, down the other. And I'm like, dude, no. You know a fraction of the security rule, maybe, but you don't know HIPAA. Sorry.
Yeah, there's areas where I don't feel like I can... You know, there's a lot of it where I can go, that's in, this, and this, go to 164, 312, blah, I'm good, I got that. But there are some of those finite details that are in the privacy rule that become very complicated in to make decisions, and a lot of those decisions relate directly to access requirements in the technology side. So this assumption that I don't need to know anything about privacy is not correct. You need to understand minimum uses and disclosures and those kind of things. And you do need to understand what the requirements are of the breach notification rule, because you may have to be involved. So there's a lot more to it than what most people understand through misinformation, which we've talked about before.
Yeah,
that happens.
And you certainly don't want your IT people to hand you, you know, 5,000 documents because you requested the past 6 years worth of information.
Yeah. So first we need to understand two pieces. So number one, why do we need the documentation?
CYA.
No, really? Okay. So multiple reasons, whether it's HIPAA or not, HIPAA has the specific 6-year limit, but even without saying HIPAA, if you're following any other framework, doesn't matter what it is, you're going to need to prove that you were doing these things. You can't just say, trust me, I did these things 5 years ago. You know, it's just not going to happen. And even if you're in financials or you're going to use the NIST framework or any of those other types of frameworks, they all require you to keep documentation to show that you're doing these things. That is part of a formal privacy and security program. It requires you to prove stuff. That's like a formal accounting system requires you to prove things. So that being said, that's yeah. And everybody, you know, we've had clients that'll go to their IT team or whatever, and they'll say, don't worry, we've got it in our system. Not enough. That's not good enough. And because are you going to be there running that system 5.5 years from now when somebody asks me to provide that information to prove that today we did this? Can you assure me that you will be able to pull that in a way that is at least capable of communicating and proving that we were actually doing it beyond, yep, we did it. Mm-hmm. You know, is there any way that you can prove it? And that's the thing that one of the tech guys, I was talking with a developer, and I was saying, look, you're making these decisions already. You're going through these processes already. The only thing you're not doing is making sure they're in some report that somebody can refer to 5 years from now. That's it. So he looks at me and he goes, so you're telling me you just want me to eat my broccoli? And be better at documentation. Yes, that's what I want you to do. I want you to eat your technical broccoli and be able to prove that not only did we run some management program, but that management program was actually functioning and someone was looking at it. And that's the big reason that they have to have it in something that resembles English. You know?
Yeah.
You know, it's where they say, look, we're just going to give you this dump of our ticketing system to prove that nothing came up. Not going to be helpful 5 years from now. Mm-mm. How can I be sure that, you know, if you're going to tell me you're going to keep the documentation for me, that means 5 years from now, you're going to have access to the documentation you have today. I'm still going to be working with you. You're still going to be working there. There's too many layers. Right. I can't protect my business without your cooperation in doing so. So all the tech folks have to understand this is not about you. It's not about you at all. It's not about whether you're doing your job or you're not doing your job. It's not about whether I trust you or I don't trust you. It is, I have to prove 5 years from now that all of this was taking place. Mm-hmm. And if you aren't doing your job, then I really need to know because I'm protecting my business. If you are doing your job, I really needed to document it because I'm protecting my business. That's why I hired you.
Yep.
So all of those reasons, I know the world does revolve around technology. We think it does. But it definitely matters that we get this information. If you are doing it, we need to be able to show that and prove it.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody understands why we have to have it. That is the important part. So whether you're in charge of capturing it and storing it, you want it so that you can put it within your system and check out your, I don't know, be able to pull it on a reasonable time frame when you're asked for it 5 years from now.
Right.
Or your predecessors asked for it 5 years from now.
Yeah.
It should be in the same place.
And that's a whole nother topic where when we talk about where are you going to put all this documentation?
I know. Oh, so, you can just use some spreadsheets and documents. Now, these spreadsheets are going to have 42 layers of formulas that all hook together. And if somebody changes the name of one of them, it'll no longer work and no one will understand why.
Yeah.
You know, and then you have to have documentation about how you documented everything. So, yeah, it's stuff you have to worry about.
You can get crazy.
Yeah.
But we're going to kind of distill this down to, you know, the three reports. So, yep. And there again, if you're an IT guy, IT person.
Yeah, jump back, yeah. Man.
Oh, watch out. If you're an IT person, don't get all freaked out when somebody's like, hey, I need some reports from you. Which, I mean, I don't understand why you're not providing them anyway. But I have heard that some people get all offended because you ask for reports. Like, you know, they're not doing their job or something. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, we have people that fight us tooth and nail. But yeah. The bottom line is, my job is not to protect you. My job is to protect my client's business. So even if you disagree with me, I don't care.
Yeah. Well, the other thing too is these reports. It's probably worth saying is that if you don't have a managed IT service provider, chances are you're not going to be able to get these reports. So, you know, if you've got it, hey, I got an IT guy and he comes in, he fixes stuff when things break, you're not going to be able to get these reports most of the time.
You're going to have to figure out how to do it somehow, but it ain't going to be easy.
No. So keep that in mind. And also, if you know, you need to have a discussion about what types of reports you're going to need from your IT vendor. And also, they could, if they've got multiple clients and need other reports, you may want to have a conversation about that because they may have some other things they can offer you that are outside of these three that would be great, useful information as well. So let's dive into number one.
Well, we call this the bare minimum set of reports that if you can't get this, you need to move on. And not just to say that, you know, if you have an internal IT department, because some people have that luxury, you should still find a way either by using similar tools that an outsource vendor uses, which those managing and monitoring tools are, or by finding a manual way to create it like those who don't use those tools. Mm-hmm. Either way, these reports are required. So the first one is patch management evidence.
Yes, I like patch management.
Yes, and it's very complicated and it's one that's very important to do properly. And, you know, we talk about it. We've had multiple episodes about the importance of patch management. So I don't think we need to drill down on that. so much as to understand the importance of having a regular reporting process for patch management. Mm-hmm. And we recommend that you get those once a month. And in your patch management evidence, I don't want to see somebody say, yep, we did it. And so the best way to give an example of A, what can go wrong in patch management, and B, how the reporting could have solved it and prevented it is Equifax.
See here.
They're a perfect example of why these kinds of reporting to requirements exist and what happens when they're not in place or ignored. And it's definitely related to, you guessed it, their huge breach from last year. Mm-hmm. And it's all related to, or at least what we're being told, it's related to a software patch. So here's essentially what happened is this piece of software that they use, it's quite commonly used in a lot of large sector, large systems. It's called Apache Struts. And there was a security flaw found in that software. And it was announced, now they found out about it, and the vendor patched it before it was formally announced. That's what most of these cases involve, is they figure out how to fix it, and then they announce what happened so that everybody knows to get the patch. But it's not like, oh, there's no patch for this. Good luck. We're going to tell the world. So on March 6th, they released a patch, and then the next day, the vulnerability was announced publicly. The Apache Struts folks. Then Equifax took over. Because at that point, if you're using the software, it's your job. And apparently, there was an internal memo circulated about this particular flaw on March the 9th. According to the Equifax policy, that patch should have been applied within 48 hours. It was not.
It was the weekend.
I know. You know, whatever. It was time and labor intensive to install it. You had to go through several steps. But by that time, there was also ample evidence that the hackers knew about this, and they were tearing it up using that particular vulnerability to attack websites and that used it. So not only did Equifax not install it, they didn't install it until July 30th, 146 days later. Which was also the day after the, quote, breach was discovered. So there's a lot of debate about when it was discovered, but they're claiming it was July 29th.
Yeah, so, yeah. I don't know about that.
Yeah, so supposedly it was time and labor intensive, but they were able to do it in 24 hours. And my guess is without the breach, when would they have dealt with it? And then we have the ex-CEO going before Congress and blaming one poor guy, woman, I don't know, wouldn't name the person, but a single person, according to this CEO, was the reason that Equifax didn't install this patch. Because that one person was supposed to identify and install the patches and let the organization know if there was anything that wasn't happening.
You had one job.
So, you know, this huge corporation that has all of this valuable information is going to hang their hat on one person doing everything they're supposed to do. I'm sorry. I, you know, in a small company, yeah, my company relies on me doing what I'm supposed to do. And trust me, I get yelled at when I don't do it. So, but that was how that all played out. Now, if we were doing what we suggest that you do, there would actually be a report that was generated every month, and it would have a list of things that had happened and came out that were dealing with software that was important to us and security patches. So that memo that was circulated, that should have been triggered to go on this report because everybody saw the memo, right? So it would have then shown up either not there on the report and somebody that's other than that one person that was reviewing the report on a monthly basis should have seen it and said, wait, didn't I get a memo about X, Y, and Z? It's not on here. Because you got another set of eyes, possibly even two more sets of eyes, looking at that list every month. So in theory, it would have been found that it wasn't done within that 48-hour time frame in no more than a month from that time, which was before the breach happened. And that poor person who's being blamed for not escalating it, if they were reporting it up, you know, and somebody else was deciding not to do it, then hopefully, you know, that's what happened. It's not just they hoarded it and said, you know, what are the ones who, you know, I know everything and yeah, I don't need any help. And hopefully they weren't one of those people.
Yeah, maybe not.
Yeah. So we can only assume they were doing the right thing and they've thrown them under the bus. I don't know. But if you have this requirement so that the tech people are responsible for generating this monthly report that says, here's all the security patches we dealt with this month. Here's all the ones that we're worried about and we have a plan for. And somebody's looking at that. It's being handed off to somebody that's not their job to be a technical person. It's their job to make sure that there's some semblance of English here that someone can tell 5 years from now that we were doing our job. Mm-hmm. And then they see that and they file it.
Right.
So. But
one thing to not forget about with patch management, because a lot of people want to, you know, they want to think about it as in terms of Windows patching and updates, third-party right. software updates, all this. But what people often are missing is the firmware patching that that needs to be done as well on devices on the network and other
Excuse
things.
Excuse me.
Yes.
That's number three. Back off, Jack.
But I can step ahead if I want to.
And he's dancing back and forth.
See, what you're supposed to say is you're supposed to say, we're coming to that.
No, it's more fun to say, hello.
All right. So, so spoiler report. All right. Number two. Are you ready for number two?
I guess.
Can I give that one away?
All right. Yes, go ahead. So number two.
All right, so number two, antivirus and anti-malware evidence because they are different.
Yes, and a lot of people say, well, I just have to have an AV, but I don't even know that there's that many that are just AVs anymore, yeah. You know? And you really are, there's more and more cases where managed service providers are turning to other tools that have more of an artificial intelligence approach, because the old way was discover a problem, push it out everywhere so that now that won't happen again. And it is happening so quickly now between discovery and they're using it against you in a mass attack that they're trying to build systems that look for those, behaviors. And say, okay, that I'm going to need to stop. Somebody needs to look at this. Mm-hmm. Whoa, Bessie. And that's why there's going to be a lot of these different ones. But a single undetected malware program can wreak a lot of havoc. In fact, there are cases where, those are where you don't go into detail, but just trust me when I say there are cases where one machine gets infected with a little bit of malware. And then a little bit more malware. And then next thing you know, that machine is now being used to attack the rest of the network because they were able to get past just enough. Mm-hmm. Now, I believe this was an IT issue, but if someone had been looking and known that that device wasn't properly protected against malware, problem would have occurred. Mm-hmm. So I just say it's one of those things, it's another one that'll probably be in the news. So, but it again is, you know, one little piece of malware that kicks out on a quarantine report is not something you should ignore, mm-hmm. in my opinion.
Yeah. I mean, the whole thing of the reports is so that somebody can take a look at it and verify if, you know, whether or not it's something that needs to be looked at closer. And I think that's a big downfall of a lot of tech companies and IT companies is they, they spit out these reports, but oftentimes they don't look at them because it's time consuming. You have to look at the things. You have to kind of compare sometimes this report to the last month's report, or keep abreast of what's going on with security things and all that. And it's time consuming. So, we don't typically do a great job of that in IT. So you have to kind of keep an eye out for that.
Well, and it's one of those things you build into your product. I mean, you build it in as this is something. And yes, it's a requirement, but it's also mature security program requirement. You know, it's not just
it
that
is.
Piece.
Yeah. But at the same time, you have, I guess I'm going to speak from an IT perspective. When you have the clients that are, they don't understand or see value in doing all that. You know, they're looking at, I only called you twice this month for support, and I don't understand why I'm having to pay this. Well, you're paying it because there's a whole lot else that's going on that, you know, technicians are doing behind the scenes that, you know, has nothing to do with keeping your printer printing.
Well, and these reports would help you prove that.
Yeah, they will.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to show that you managed, 50 different products, security updates, and dealt with 3 or 4 quarantines and whatnot. That's another advantage of doing this work. Mm-hmm. And it does often, some little innocuous little piece of malware that gets kicked out. And yeah, it wasn't allowed to run, but it's the signal. That's your canary in a mine. That if somebody's actually paying attention, they'd be like, why is that there? Mm-hmm. How did that happen? Let me ask some more questions.
Yeah.
So it's important that we're showing that that work is being done.
Yeah. That's like the computer user who says, well, this thing hasn't been working right for months. I just hadn't told you. It hasn't been working right because you had an infection that screwed something up.
Yeah, it's like, how can I even fix it? So that's the proactive monitoring allows you to prevent those kind of things. It lets you stay on top of the patches and get those installed properly. And the antivirus, anti-malware, all of those things to make sure that it's important to know that every device is included. Hello.
Yeah,
how many times you have somebody that grabs a device and you don't even know it, and they throw it on the network, and you're like, where did that come from?
Lots of times.
Yeah. So we got the patching, the antivirus, anti-malware, and then number 3, as David has already revealed, is device firmware. And you've got these network devices out there that you're trusting are going to build your perimeter of your security, particularly your firewalls or UTMs or whatever you're going to call them, if that's your perimeter security, yet you're never making sure it's up to date and evaluating its settings on a regular basis, what are we going to do?
Yeah.
You know?
And sadly, I have rarely taken on a client that had previous IT. I have rarely taken one on where this was actually being done. Almost always that device is not being updated. It's not patched. It doesn't have a security on it. It's crazy.
Yeah. So, now with the IoT, there's some other devices and the medical devices, you may need to be monitoring those as well. But these devices have firmware on them, which is they don't necessarily have the operating system like Windows you're used to. But when we say firmware, that's kind of what we're talking about. And in the firewall UTM world, that is the most important one to make sure this is okay. Now, are we saying that you have to immediately install every single patch that comes out? Sometimes they're installing a patch because somebody misspelled something on an interface screen, mm-hmm. and they're fixing it. So I'm not saying every single patch needs to be loaded, but if there is a security patch, then you load everything. And yes, I know it requires you to test things, but I don't think I need to say anything but Equifax.
And it may be that you'll have some downtime.
or you have to schedule things around stuff or whatever. But if you have a patch, that's one thing. If you have a security patch, that's what we're talking about. And if there is a security patch for anything, whether it be the firewall, UTM, or Windows, or Windows Server, or Adobe, or whatever, if you elect not to install that security patch, then you need to document why and what you plan on doing about it.
Yeah.
Every single month.
Because I can tell you what most IT people are going to tell you about firmware. If it ain't broke,
don't fix it.
Because it can go horribly awry when you're dealing with firmware.
Oh, yeah. I'm not saying that. But at the same time, most of them, in today's world, if they don't require that, three layers of technical training and degrees in order to even work with it, which some vendors have that. Mm-hmm. But if you have the ones that are much more friendly, then you can kind of let them do their own thing and just make sure everything's okay.
Yep.
So if you're not doing that, that's fine. You don't have to, but you still need to document it. And you want to do, these are kind of quarterly. The other two monthly, but these are quarterly. The quarterly ones, you want to make sure that all of the security patches are in place and make sure that nothing looks like anybody's been in there changing settings. So one of the things we recommend is you just grab some screenshots of it as you're in there that documents all of that information. You make notes about anything that you've decided not to install. Hey, we're behind like four patches, but none of them have security patches in them. So for right now, we're not going to load anything. On the flip side of that, if they don't have security patches and they're tiny and you know what they're doing, go ahead and load them so you don't have 15 patches by the time you have a security patch to deal with. So there's a lot of decisions you need to make there, but that is an IT decision. Either way, I need you to tell me what those decisions are and make sure they meet the policies and procedures I have in place in my business. And give me those details so that I can make decisions. And I don't want to see a report, so let's talk about what's in the reports. Don't just spit me a report that has a log of the tickets. That's not going to help me. Don't just spit me a report that says we updated 3 servers and 38 desktops. We're good to go. Because that won't help me. The trust us, we did it does not help. It's 5 years from now, and I can tell you for certain, there are cases where in an investigation that about something that happened, this year, they can ask and will ask for you to prove what antivirus systems were in place 5 years ago, and were you keeping them up to date? I know this for a fact. Can we just go with that?
I trust you.
And because I know those happen, that's why we're trying to do them. That's why we ask for the details. It's not to, be a pain for anybody. It's not to prove that we know things or we don't know things. What I'm saying is I do know they have asked for this in the past.
That's pretty
good. Why would I not tell you to do it?
I don't know why you wouldn't tell me to do it.
I know you'd be mad if I didn't. So it needs to have, you can have a summary report that says the 3 servers and the 38 desktops and they got patches. But I'm going to need that detail report because, that front desk computer is the one that we started a problem on. Now, the user claims somebody must have been tracking their keystrokes because they didn't tell anybody anything. All right, what am I going to do? How am I going to prove that?
Documentation.
Yeah. If it's not documented, it didn't happen. And a lot of people point out, sometimes I don't want it documented.
Yeah.
Well, in this case, we're going to have to assume we need it documented.
Yeah. Well, you definitely want to be able to prove it. And you're, like you've pointed out, you're not going to remember what you did not even 6 months ago, much less 6 years ago.
Yeah. So we need to know why those decisions are being made. And make proper plans to address those issues. And until you've been the one having to supply, or at least supply a written description as to why I can't supply this, you don't understand how it feels. So it is not about making anybody's job harder. It's about doing the job that we have to do to protect the business that we're trying to protect.
Yep. And the patients. Absolutely.
And because it's not about compliance.
It's about patient care.
Finally, you jumped in when you're supposed to.
That's all, folks. Have a good day.
Well, we are pretty close to done with that. But if you have, as David's mentioned, there's plenty of other reports. We're not saying these are the only ones. But if you don't have these, you know, you're going to be in trouble.
Yeah.
The next one probably would be something about encryption, which mm-hmm. could be ascertained from some of these reports, depending on how they work. But yes, something about proving encryption, that would be a good thing.
Yeah. Any report that you can use to prove something is happening or is not happening, then you should have it. Except I wouldn't go too crazy. Like, you know, let me see every report of every time I had a port scan done to my network.
Please, no. So, I mean, you do a really thing. I mean, you do a great thing where you take them and then you kind of put it together with a little, you know, Prezi kind of thing with some charts and graphs, and everything gets shipped out. So that's what we're looking for. It's a standard cookie cutter approach, and you show that someone's actually looking at it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's all I have to say about that.
All right, Ben. That was some good stuff.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
I'm going to share it out. All right, folks, that's our show for today. Now you know what to go bug your IT company about. So go, hopefully they're providing the reporting. If they are providing it, also you might want to make sure somebody's looking at it. If they're not looking at it, are you looking at it? Somebody's got to look at it.
Make sure somebody's looking at something that you need to be looking at.
Yeah. Come here, look at this.
Hey, y'all, watch this. Hold my beer.
All right, there you go, folks. Anyway, for Donna and myself, remember, HIPAA is not about compliance. It's about patient care.
You've been listening to the Help Me with HIPAA podcast, hosted by Donna Grendel and David Sims, the show created to help you with HIPAA. For more information or to ask us a question, visit our website at helpmewithhipaa.com. Neither Donna Grendel or David Sims are attorneys, and they do not offer binding legal advice concerning regulatory compliance. The information in this podcast should not be relied upon or construed as legal advice in any way. Consult your attorney for legal advice concerning compliance with HIPAA regulations.